Silence! That wasn't enough. Silence! That's better.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 248 of Nerd Pride Radio. 248, alright, my original fact was going to be that 248 years from now, in the year 2266, Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy first joins the Starship Enterprise, but... Then Aiden looked it up and said, hey, you know, the year 248, all of Rome was in the midst of a huge year-long celebration of 1,000 years of Rome. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, too. I mean, seriously, imagine that party. That's pretty awesome. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
Oh, my God, I feel like crap. I got sick last weekend. That's why I didn't record last weekend. And I'm just still recovering, and I'm not 100%. I keep thinking I'm getting better, and then I can't breathe. But you know, other than that, I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
And I'm here, too.
My co-host this week is Aiden, because he's awesome.
Hi.
I've got nothing prepared. I'm hoping that my son can compensate for me, but probably not.
I compensate for a lot of things.
We're just going to talk for a little bit and see how long my voice holds out, because I've missed you guys. So, first up, I'm not even going to call this meticulously plotted, because I haven't plotted a thing. Let's see...
A little behind the kimono there.
Yeah, I know. Roku! How about that for a segment? We haven't done that in a while. Roku is the streaming box that I used to watch all of my streaming services on. I don't anymore, but I love saying Roku! So, that's what I do when I talk about TV. And I saw Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency this week. I have watched all of season one, and... It was a blast. Wow. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, written by, well, the original novel was written by Douglas Adams, and the guy who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I loved the novel. I've read it like 3 times. And I think it's really funny, and I enjoyed it. And the TV show is only vaguely similar to the novel in that there is a Dirk Gently, and he is a holistic detective, but... The overall tone of the show, the motivations, the backstory, everything is completely different. And it works. I mean, as much as I love the novel, this TV show is a different thing, and it's a different awesome thing, and I'm having a really good time with it. I think it is funny, it is touching, and, it's got some interesting, you know, look, I love a good, time manipulation sort of story. And you get a little bit of that here, and it was just a lot of fun. And so, I had a good time. I think you guys should watch it. I'm looking forward to season 2. I'm not sure, I know where they're going, because they ended the season 1 on a cliffhanger. So, you have an idea of where it's going. But, it'll be interesting to see what they do to recapture the mystery of season 1. So, anyway, that's all I got. I just really liked Dirk Gently. I thought it was fun. It reminded me of the way, the new season of The Tick, the Amazon version of Tick, has taken Tick to a really dark place, which it's still funny.
Not that dark.
And, well, way darker than previous versions of the Tick. And therefore, I really like the way they've gone with it. I mean, it's a new thing, it's a different thing, but it's still really, really good. And I think the same thing can be said of Dirk Gently, because I've already said it. So, obviously it must be true. You been watching anything? As long as we're on Roku!
The only thing I've watched recently is, I mean, a month ago I finished Big Mouth.
Oh, I love Big Mouth.
But other than that, I've been stuck watching Charmed for the last month.
Oh.
Because my roommate won't turn it off.
What? Your roommate John? Or your roommate Robin?
Robin, that one.
Is this the new Charmed?
No. The new Charmed isn't out on Netflix yet. Oh, it's still being made on TV.
Okay, well, sometimes they... anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, I've never seen much of the original Charmed, so
I wouldn't know. In season 5 of 8, and...
Oh, that sounds awesome.
I love Robin to death, but man, does she not have good taste in TV.
Yeah, look,
I can say these things because she doesn't listen.
Okay, I'll give you that. So, you enjoyed Big Mouth?
Enjoyed is a weird word, isn't it?
You eagerly anticipated each new episode?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, for those of you who haven't watched it, Big Mouth is a cartoon that is on Netflix. It is a cartoon by Nick Kroll and his friends, and it is about adolescence, and it is the main characters are all 13 years old, and they're going through puberty, and the cartoon is very, very graphic representations of the horrors of puberty made manifest. And so they have a hormone monster who is responsible for puberty and responsible for giving lots of bad advice. They have the ghost of Duke Ellington in the attic. I don't understand how that plays in, but it's...
Ellington died in the house.
It's voiced by Jordan Peele, and it's pretty funny. And, man, I don't know about you, season one of Big Mouth, I loved season one, and through most of that season, I kept thinking, wow, you know what? It's kind of got a lot of gross-out humor, but it's the kind of thing that it's teaching good lessons, and this is the kind of thing that every 15-year-old should watch. They really should. Yancey even said the same thing to me the other day. He started watching Big Mouth at my recommendation, and he's like 4 or 5 episodes in. He's like, God, you know what? They should make this mandatory viewing for all teenagers.
And then we watched season two, and we're like, no one should watch it.
And then got into season two. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, this is not for... Look, season two is also funny. I mean, I was entertained as all get out all the way through season two. Couldn't stop watching it. But it gets graphic, and the gross-out humor gets even more intense, and it is the sort of thing that yes, it's still trying to teach valuable lessons or illustrate facets of growing up and what life is like. And it does a good job of doing those things, but it also throws in a lot of the gross-out stuff that's there mostly just for shock value. And I don't feel for season two that the value outweighs the shock. So, I mean, like I say, I still enjoyed watching it. I had a great time, but as far as any sort of educational tool, oh man, no, I would leave that one behind now. So, for what it's worth.
I also watched all of Paradise PD. If you've heard anything about that.
Paradise PD. Is that a cartoon as well?
It's a Netflix original, yeah.
Okay, I have seen the thumbnail for it. I have not watched Paradise PD.
Paradise PD is everything Brickleberry wishes it could be.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, from the people who brought you Brickleberry. That was actually going to be my example of...
It's everything that Brickleberry wishes it could be. It's...
Really?
It does the gross, just... Why would that even be a thing humor correctly, where Brickleberry was just like, hey, look, this is a thing. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise PD does it okay. I'm not saying it's a good show, but I enjoyed it.
It's like Cartman comparing South Park to Family Guy.
Right.
And how much, apparently, Trey and... what's the other guy's name? Matt. How much Matt and Trey hate the comparison of South Park to Family Guy, because... From their point of view as voiced by Cartman, yeah, but we do it for a reason. There's a point here. They just do it for the sake of being shocking. Which,
right.
Okay, I get that. So.
Right.
Okay, so Paradise PD. Maybe I'll pick that up then. Because I've been looking for some mindless stuff that I can do, you know, 20 minutes of a shot and then go to sleep. Yeah. So that's what Big Mouth was so nice for. It's 20-minute episodes. You can watch one episode, go to bed.
You could sleep after those episodes?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a baby. So, okay, that's it. I watched TV this week, and that's all I've done. We had scouts, and we had a robotics tournament, and the boys did their one-act play.
Well, we've told you literally everything interesting, so...
But yeah, we told you all the good stuff, which is, I mean, really, you should go watch Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. That's the important part. Mm-hmm. So, although, you know what, if I can get Noah and Eli to come on next week, maybe they can talk about some of their events that have been going on, because their play is fascinating. They're doing Medea, which I don't even know how they got the rights from Tyler Perry, but... I'm sorry, I've been making that joke all week long, and it makes me laugh every single time I say it. I entertain me that much. The original Medea, as written by Euripides.
With all the same humor, weirdly enough.
Yeah. Yeah, which okay, I didn't realize the Boo, a Medea Halloween was so strongly based on the original Euripides play. So, anyway.
Euripides nuts.
Yeah, Euripides pants, I break a you face. That's the first time I heard a Euripides joke. Anyway, you know what? I'll wait for them to talk about it.
You should move the mic closer to me.
I'm not doing it justice.
You should move the mic over here. I'm sorry, they can't.
Yeah, they can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. So, here, let me very carefully. There
we go. Jeez, take the whole table with you.
That's as much noise as I can make sliding the microphone.
Oh, okay.
So, you know what? That's all I got. I honestly think it's time to break out the Podomatic.
That was the whole.
Well, I was hoping you'd jump in. I'd start saying Podomatic, and you'd just be already going and you'd.
We gotta
too late. Sorry.
You gotta talk to me about these things, man.
Hot dog.
You can't just throw things at me and expect me to just be your little lap dog.
This good boy. This is the Nerd Bride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast or at the beginning if we've run out of material.
About 10 minutes in.
We bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for me and my son Aiden to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well,
that's where you guys come in.
We have a list.
A list?
We have a list.
Oh, no, I don't. That's not appropriate. I was gonna go through an entire Bo Burnham poem, but...
Oh.
Man, that's not a good poem to... if you're curious, it was Sluts by Bo Burnham. Go look it up.
Okay. If you guys want to hear us haver on about something, you send your question to us by email, or better yet... in a private message on my forums, and we will add it to this list, because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. What's our first number?
Our first number is 13.
Huh. You know what would be really cool is if we had the Podomatic open.
Why do you never have it open? I mean, that's really my question.
Oh, God, we haven't even removed all the ones from last week. Hold on a second. It's still loading. Let me explain to you what I did, by the way. Those of you who have paid attention to the forums and Facebook and have also become members of Aiden's Platinum List, you should be aware that I did the listener betrayal for Facebook and the forums like really early today. Like I ran it from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
And you'll still have no responses.
And I did that because I was afraid being sick and having other stuff to do. I knew I wasn't going to record until like 9 o'clock at night. And I was afraid that I would wind up just canceling out again. So I put out the listener betrayal early so that the material would be there so I would feel obligated to come record. And I'm glad I did because Aiden showed up.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine a month-long listener betrayal? We could have an entire episode.
I know. It's actually, I've thought about that many a time.
Oh my god, and we should do it.
Well, Kyle did start it up the one time because he was starting it up for me because he thought I was just running late. And so he was going to give me a head start, and then I didn't record that week. And so then I had a whole week's worth. That's pretty cool. So anyway, I got to sort by count. Oh, God, look at all those. I have to delete all of these. Look, all of that stalling, and I still...
Man, what great radio this is.
Dude, they... You know what?
I should play some copyrighted music. That's what I should do.
That's... You really... You know what? How about... that card trick that you had. Why don't you break out your deck of cards and...
Yeah, sure.
You can do the card trick for them.
Hold on, let me... Gotta find my deck of cards.
All right, you go for it. You guys just hold tight. This is going to be great radio. Positive, you guys are going to be super impressed. This was a really good trick. All the 5-year-olds at the birthday party thought this was the best they'd ever seen.
Are you guys ready for this?
All right, go for it.
No, phone, shut up.
Wow. That's not what I expected.
All right, here we go.
All right.
God damn. These cards are just real shitty. Hold on.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously, you suck.
Why is there so much static? Okay, joke was that I was going to pull up a bunch of card shuffling noises on my phone, but I can't find a good video that'll do it for me.
It doesn't matter. We have number what?
13.
13! Hey, look at that. 13.
Wow!
Which I've had ready right here in front of us the
whole time.
I have
a new respect for people who just talk. like they don't have anything planned. They just go.
It would have been better if we had gotten ourselves drunk first. And in 2 months, you'll be able to do that with me.
I could do it now with you, but it just wouldn't be legal.
No, it'd be legal here in my home. I can give you a drink here in my house if I want to. I wouldn't, because I don't like you enjoying yourself. But,
yeah.
Number one is for, or 13.
My
first question.
Dad would let me.
Yeah, if we ever find that bastard. No, that's a bad joke, because that implies that my wife cheated on me at some point. Or
also,
that...
it's grammatically incorrect, because I'd be the bastard.
Oh, that's true. So it really is not... Not a good joke, but it's a very old one, and it's my... Anytime someone says something about their real dad, I make that joke in my head, so... and sometimes out loud. Anyway, the question is from Ronster. See, this is why I shouldn't record when I'm not feeling well, because I am rambling.
No, it's actually decent radio.
Ronster says, can you ever go back to a life with only a home phone? What about a rotary phone?
Oh, no.
So, all right, yeah, so you know the...
Do you know how long it takes to dial a rotary phone?
Yes, that's what I used to have.
How old are you?
I am 79. So, you know the home phone that we still have here?
Yes.
Now, imagine that the base for it doesn't move, and the handpiece, the headset, however you want to call that, is connected to the base... by a 10-foot-long cord.
I was alive for corded phones.
Right. And now imagine that's the only phone you own.
Yeah, I was...
And it has a rotary dial on the front.
I was alive for cord phones, Dad. Like, before cell phones were, like,
okay.
Huge.
Yeah, but I got my first cell phone when you were, like, 2 or 3.
And I still remember that. Vaguely.
Okay. He remembers back in the day. But the whole point is, could you ever go back to that life?
No, hell no.
Oh, yeah, at this point?
I have so much that... I have jobs that I have to do on the internet.
You know, beyond that, even beyond the whole community that I'm a part of here and my podcasting and everything else, and I keep in touch with all of that through this phone, this phone is more... I mean, I know we call them phones, but honestly...
Computers.
Yeah, the phone portion is the least important function of this thing.
It's also the function I use the least.
Yeah, I mean, just texting and email and the idea that, look, I've gotten a system down at work where, you know, you could have a calendar for stuff you have to do at work, and then that calendar would notify you when you need to do things and all this. Mine never worked. I just set a damn alarm. I mean, it's like, oh, if I look at my alarms right now, yeah, I've got one set for 8:15 tomorrow morning because I have to leave to drive to Skylar again. And so, and I already know, and... The magic of this is if I set an alarm, then I don't need the alarm because I remember it. Once the alarm is set, now I'll just remember to do it. But there's so much that goes on here. Just the idea that my brain is failing on me and I need my magic box to look up facts on Google anytime I need to know anything. How did I ever live a life where I couldn't figure out, hey, where have we seen that girl before on this TV show? I mean, not knowing every fact every moment would drive me crazy. Alright, so anyway, no, couldn't go back to it. Rotary phone, although, man, wouldn't a rotary cell phone be kind of cool?
They do that. I'm sorry.
Oh, can I get a rotary app for it?
You will, a rotary app, or like they actually make attachments that plug into your charging port.
Sweet.
Is it really?
Yeah, no, I would never use it, not for a moment. It would be cool to have it and to show somebody that you have it, but never actually use it. That would be stupid. All right, you have to roll again. Sorry, I've forgotten how this podcast works.
86.
86? Sweet. 86 is no longer on the menu. How about that? 86 is old diner slang. Removed from menu.
I'm aware you're very lame.
No, I'm just saying that, well, you remember rotary phones, so you probably remember that. Alright, 86 is from, I can't find it, dude.
I don't remember rotary phones, I remember cord phones.
Alright, here it is. 86 is from Phoebe. Alright, we haven't had one from Phoebe for a while. If you were given $10,000, Aiden, with instructions to use it on a vacation, where and what kind of vacation would you take? So where are you going?
Ireland for photography, because it is a beautiful country out there.
Nice.
A lot of that money would go towards a really, really good camera. Like I want to take like some freaking ultra...
You're welcome, Ron.
Ultra HD, like 4K pictures of the countryside in Ireland.
That is gorgeous. My wife and I have always talked about an Alaskan cruise. I don't know if I'm as excited about that one anymore.
You just want to be on a boat in freezing waters?
Yeah. God. The boat is a floating palace, dude. But
in freezing waters?
So? It's a floating palace. Look, I wouldn't mind having that kind of money. I wouldn't mind doing a tour of New York City and taking in a Broadway show and doing all sorts of expensive New York-y things. Let's see. Yeah, Ireland is absolutely on my list. Or Australia. Any of those are fine. What about you, Lisa? If you had $10,000 for a vacation, where would we go? Lisa? New Zealand, see?
Oh, that's another good place to take pictures.
She's awesome on this one. So, okay. Rolled again? Is that how we did this? Sweet.
It's just an off day for both of us, huh?
No kidding. 92. Is that 92?
That's 92.
92 is from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Oh, I love Kyle. Kyle is so awesome and forgiving. He is the best. Kyle says, holy cow, Exxon has a new app where you pull up, you open your app, and it knows what gas station you're at, so it asks you what pump. And then you just get out and you pump your gas and you leave. It automatically gets charged to your credit or debit card. No card swiping, no PIN code, no going inside. How awesome is that? We have a lot of credit card skimmers in Central Texas, so I think this is pretty awesome. Yeah, that sounds awesome, dude. I don't even know that needs any more comment from me. That's spectacular.
Yes, that is awesome. Cool.
All right, sweet.
93.
Yeah, I would love to get that here. I mean, I'm sure they have that here. I should just pay attention. 93 is from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
And Kyle says, so I know we address chiropractors as doctor, but, and he puts doctor in quotes, but is that right? I mean, they can't prescribe medicine. I have a hard enough time calling my vet and dentist doctor, but at least they can prescribe medicine. Look, I graduated law school with a Juris Doctorate, but I don't make people call me doctor. And you know why? Because I can't prescribe medicine. You know who else can't prescribe medicine? An acupuncturist. Or your mailman. We don't call them doctors. Am I off base here?
No.
No. No, you're not. Look, chiropractors, in my mind, are advanced massage therapists.
Yes.
And I personally think that there is some benefit to chiropractics for people. When you're going in to get, you've got hurt muscles, hurt back, things going on. But when they start trying to convince you that you should bring your baby in for chiropractic adjustment because they can cure whooping cough, okay, they're nutbags. When they start telling you that they're... that they've now got a new wing for veterinary chiropractics. Yeah, they're out of...
Vetro what?
Oh, yeah, you can bring your dog in to get an adjustment. Seriously, if your dog's spine isn't properly aligned, then his chi is going to be all out of whack, and it's going to cause all sorts of problems. I mean, early mange.
Remember when chiropractic was like an actual science?
Oh, no, it's never been an actual science. It's always been fake. But
I'm aware.
But again, there are some benefits to some of the things they do, in my opinion. But it is just so enmeshed in this soup of wackadoodle science that, yeah, they have very little credibility when it comes to most things, in my opinion. And again, for those of you who go to a chiropractor, and I know lots of people who go to chiropractors and get a lot of benefit out of it, and most of the people I know who go to chiropractors, they prefer the, look, I don't want any of the new age horse crap. I just want to go in, have him adjust my back, feel better, and walk out. That's all I want. And so there's some good chiropractors in town who, that's all they do. But then I also have some friends who they go to the chiropractor, they believe in all the fruity science that is made up that goes with it. They talk about how they really need to get their kids in for a chiropractic
that's like
adjustment.
The worst like, cereal just... ever. Fruity science.
It's like lilacs and peaches and formaldehyde. It's
God, this one's crystal flavored.
Nice.
Oh wow, this brand is Wiccan Ritual.
Can we? Hold on. Now that you've brought up Wiccans. All right. I started watching some of these YouTube videos where a real lawyer critiques law shows and law movies. So the real lawyer comes out and he does a whole breakdown of Liar Liar. Where, you know, fortunately, he understands it's all for humor and it's blah, blah, blah. But he also breaks down My Cousin Vinny, which is his favorite movie, strangely. But then they have others where a real martial artist breaks down the fight scenes from different martial arts movies. A real doctor breaks down all of a sudden. Okay.
Okay, see, I can see the doctor and lawyer one. They're punching guys and it looks cool. I don't...
Oh, no, no, but they're talking about... No, this gal was awesome. She was really, really cool about it because she's showing that, you know, here are some great fight scenes from movies where you can see that the person has had training and they are actually using real judo moves, and this is how you would actually, like, especially when it's supposed to be a realistic movie and you're watching a small person in a realistic movie using actual maneuvers to leverage their opponent's weight against them and this kind of stuff, as opposed to other ones like The Matrix, where clearly the fight scenes are all pure fantasy, and that's the way they're supposed to be.
Right.
But anyway, the reason this leads me to Wiccans is they have one where a real Wiccan breaks down movies about witches.
Witches and Wiccans are different things.
Apparently not according to the Wiccans. Yeah, and so they're breaking down the witchcraft of, you know, the craft. They're, I mean, like, she's going to make commentary on the movie Hocus Pocus. I mean...
Really?
Yeah, it's like, it's a joke. It's a these are witches, these are Halloween witches, which are a completely separate thing from Wiccan tradition. The fact that they're both laying claim to the name witch does not mean... It would be
That's
like...
That's why every Wiccan I know hates being called a witch, because they're very separate things.
Right. It's like having the actual Wiccan come break down Harry Potter for us. Harry Potter is wands and magic spells and not a...
And so is Wiccanism, apparently.
Apparently, that's a... Well, once again, I once had a Wiccan try and cast spells on me.
Same!
But fortunately for me, I don't like pie. So, not the number pie. I love the number pie. But
So if she had put her magic potion in the number pie, it might have worked.
Right, it might have worked. But no, she wanted to cast a love spell on me, and she needed to put it into a fruit pie.
Was it a hair pie?
No, you don't understand. Stewie had some too. So, it is... Yeah, she had to bake it into a fruit pie to get the spell to work. And as it turns out, I don't eat fruit. So Whew.
Must not have loved you that much.
Saved by my dietary peccadillos. That's...
Peccadillos? Hold on.
Peccadillos. Which I always assume is related to the word being picky or peckish or...
Oh, I thought it was some creature that's peckish, across...
peckish, I think, is hungry.
I was going to say it's a cross between a peacock and an armadillo, but...
Right. I think peccadillo is like a peculiarity, a quirk. But I don't know.
Remember how we
I
usually
really
don't get off topic in the Podomatic?
Right, remember how R2 usually stops us? Okay.
63.
We're going to have to stop this soon. This is a nightmare. Oh my goodness. 63 is from Ronster.
Hi, Ron. Oh,
Ronster, we haven't heard from you in like 7 minutes. This is great. Select one genre of music to be no more.
Country. Stadium country. To clarify.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really can't argue with that.
Oh, wow, 27.
Oh, wow, 27?
Yeah. Oh, wow, as in, huh, I cut off your... That's the last one.
Oh. Well, that's 3 to the 3rd power. It's also from Ronster. Ronster says... What would America have been named if a millennial had named it? Yeah, I got nothing. Devin?
Skylar?
Yeah, something like that. If a millennial had named it, like...
Kimantha. Yeah.
Amerigo dot Vespucci? Am I getting closer?
That's more not millennial. It's, I don't know what that is. But...
Americ dot go?
That's better.
All right. I'm getting closer. I am not clever enough for this. And man, this would have been a great question for you guys. Cause
yeah.
I can't think. Here, I'm going to... Hold on.
Can't end on that note, huh?
Yeah, we're going to do one more.
43.
43 is...
Somehow one more than the...
It is also from Ronster.
Hi, Ron. Let's try this again.
Ron's going to save us here. Are there any holidays that you are off which you do not celebrate? And if you could create a holiday to replace them, what would they be in celebration of? Oh, man. I am sure I've answered this question before. I have to have. I know I've talked about it.
I work minimum wage. I don't get any I don't get any holidays off.
You do not work minimum wage. This particular job market has created an environment where you're not getting what minimum wage should be, but you're getting more than minimum wage now. Because even McDonald's is starting at like $12 an hour around here. So you can't get people for minimum wage anymore. It's just too tight. So, anyway, he doesn't get crap off for holidays. But me, yeah, look, I get Arbor Day off because I live in Nebraska. I don't do anything for Arbor Day.
I mean, the theater still is paying people absolutely minimum wage.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I don't do anything for Arbor Day.
But does anyone do anything for Arbor Day?
Plant a tree. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't generally do anything for President's Day or Columbus Day. President's Day and Columbus Day are both days where I clean my house because I'm home alone and I've got nothing else to do. I generally don't do anything for Veterans Day. I understand honoring our veterans, but I just don't do much for that day.
He may on occasion call his dad, but...
Yeah. Let's see. Man, I don't do a lot for a lot of holidays. I'm good with Christmas and New Year's and the 2 days I get off for Thanksgiving. Those are the best. All right, I love all that
stuff. You get 2 days off for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. We get Thursday and Friday.
Nice.
Yeah. Martin Luther King Day? Again, great to celebrate the man, but I don't do anything for Martin Luther King Day other than that one.
And I don't think we can replace that one without it being a hate crime.
Exactly. So, anyway, the question then is... If you could create a holiday to replace them, what would they be in celebration of? Me. a celebration of me.
Inventor of holidays.
Yes. I don't know. You know what? Here, one more. We're going to get something where we can just be naturally funny off the 54. Top of our heads and not have to think so much.
Yeah.
My brain is not functioning.
Come on, Ronster, pick up the slack here.
Okay, Ronster. This is your last chance, man. Not that I'm blaming you for the last two questions being lame. That's my fault for not being able to keep a thread in my head for more than 2 seconds. I almost lost the track of what I was saying right there. If all the bad in life is truly karma, do you still have more bad karma coming due? No, I'm a great guy.
I am
awesome.
Yeah, I've got tons of bad karma coming my way.
Yeah, you think that, but...
With my sense of humor, I've got a reserved parking space in hell, let me tell you.
Yeah, no, look, if life is karma, I think I try and give as much good as I can, and I think I mostly get back good, and I think I'm a very fortunate person, and I feel like my cosmic scales are about balanced. I feel happy, you know? It's not... Well, no, right now, I feel stuffed up, and my throat's a little scratchy. But... In general, I got things pretty good. I shouldn't complain at all. So, we'll end on that happy note.
Cool.
How about that? Let's turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
This episode is just a beautiful train wreck, isn't it?
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. Opening and closing theme, death metal, disco, Ian Kronk. Bumper music didn't have any iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Whatever. You guys know all of this. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, give us a good rating. 5 stars. Spread the word. Bread and butter.
What is that thing you keep doing with your mouth? Stop it.
I can't help it. That's me absently, I don't know, making thinking noises.
Gross.
Alright, let me start over then. This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. I didn't use any bumper music this week, but if I did, you would be able to find it on iTunes. Check out those songs, buy them, enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review or a crappy review as long as it has 5 stars, because that's what makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. You're enjoying it, so why wouldn't you spread the word and let other people enjoy it? Word of mouth is my bread and butter people. Have you ever met the bread and butter people?
They're delicious.
They are, but I always feel so greasy afterwards. So, see, now I've lost it. There we go. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, Nerd Pride Radio, and Bicoastal Disorder, which just had their 5th episode drop this week. Awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information is, you know what, just come to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook and I post up that I am recording, and whatever you guys say, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. First up, starting from my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, I posted up and said, "Hey, we're on it," which was a lie because we weren't recording then at the time, but that's okay. Podomatic question for you. Recast the 9 members of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Oof.
You don't have to do all of them, but give me 2 or 3 or whatever. This question came from Ron, who suggested Christopher Lloyd in the role of Gandalf.
All right.
Yeah.
And
imagine him very much as Doc Brown from...
I need Michael Cera as either Merry or Pippin.
Okay. Michael Cera would work. That would be fine. That's actually pretty good.
I think that,
can we just do the whole Superbad crew?
Oh, I was going to say Andy Samberg as Frodo.
Nice. I love Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg could do a good job at that role.
Uh-huh. Yo, okay, but here's the other thing, is that all 9 members of the Fellowship are fellas. Should we have recast some of them as women?
Oh my gosh, we should do an all-women reboot of Lord of the Rings. No one would hate that.
Oh, that would be so great, wouldn't it? That we should totally do that.
Man, we'd get in so much trouble.
Okay, here's my... Alright, the first response comes from Mrs. Darks. And she says, okay, for Legolas, Matthew Good.
Alright.
Pippin, Greg McHugh. Gandalf is Owen Teal. And Aragorn, Kim Coates. I'm assuming she's just casting a whole bunch of people she went to high school with, because I don't recognize any of these names. Do you know any of these people?
No.
I mean, Matthew Good, I think I've heard of. Kim Coates sounds like a name I've heard, but she says back when he was in his 30s, not so much right now. All right, so now we have to go look these people up. Hold on a minute. So, Matthew Good. That's right. I'm going to do it live, people. You should have to deal with that. Matthew Good.
We're doing it live.
Oh, from Downton Abbey. Okay.
Oh.
See, that's an English actor. No, see, I would have gone with all Americans. All American women. Or Canadians. I like the Canadians, too. Alright, you know what? Any women. It doesn't matter. Matthew Good.
Sure.
Really?
I mean, sure.
Yeah, I'll take that.
It's a reluctant sure, but yeah.
Okay, alright, I'll take that.
I just need Jesse Eisenberg, Michael Cera, and Andy Samberg all in the same movie.
Alright, who is Kim Coates?
From Downton Abbey again?
Pardon my coughing. Sons of Anarchy. So, Kim... Alright, there we go. I should just have it set for images by default, people. Oh, wow. Alright, but yeah, when he was younger, in his 30s, I getcha. And that was for the role of what? Kim Coates for Aragorn? Yeah, he would make a decent Aragorn. Okay, I can see that when he was young. Who else do we got? Last up, Greg McHugh and Owen Teal. Sorry, people. You're gonna have to bear with me on this.
Yeah, this is great radio.
Greg McHugh.
If you want to see what we're looking at, you've got to Google it yourself.
I assume they're already doing that. All right, and this is Greg. What the hell? There's Greg McHugh in the role of, that has to be one of the Hobbits, doesn't it?
Right.
Greg McHugh as Pippin. All right, good call. And then here's our Gandalf, Owen Teal. Just saying that Greg McHugh looks like a Pippin. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Owen Teal for Gandalf. Really?
Yeah.
Huh? Wow. Was he like some Game of Thrones dude? Yeah, there's... Alright, I can see it. I can see it. Alright, you know what? This is terrible radio. Terrible radio. I absolutely should not have done this. But she goes on and says, okay, sorry, I'm tired of thinking now. Hey, me and you both. I mean, this is still her. I mean, I have a conference call to work on patriarchy smashing pretty soon, and I have to save energy for that. I just have missed listener betrayal, so I want... Okay, I just have missed listener betrayal, so I want to contribute to everything. I would also like to remind people that sending men into things to save women, when in reality all that is needed is hard work and proper management, is the wrong freaking answer. I may be a princess, but I'm a self-rescuing princess. Princesses are strong role models and kick-ass leaders. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, Mike, but you're amazing, and thank you for not underestimating us. You are welcome, young lady.
And the next one's from Mike. Hi, Mike.
And Mike says, done. Wait, is young lady offensive, by the way?
No, it is. It is a description of the female you are pertaining to.
Well, here's the thing. Someone got in trouble at work for referring to someone as dear, I think.
Yeah, because she's not...
And it was condescending. She's not a... Well, and knowing who said it, it was absolutely intended to be condescending.
I was going to say, but she's not a Midwestern forest fauna, so...
Yeah, so... So, we had a whole conversation about what kind of, I can't remember what you call terms like that. Anyway, these shortened terms of endearment sort of things. Which ones would people actually use at work? And I'm like, God, I would never, like, calling someone dear or love, hun.
Honey is reserved for older black ladies.
Yeah, and so then I said, well, wait a minute.
They can call anyone honey as much as they want.
I said, wait a minute, I use young lady, and I said, I use that with pretty much any female. I mean, and no one has ever complained, no one has ever acted shocked. It's, I will refer to any female person, well, if I'm on good terms with them, I will, sir, I will
handsome
say...
Handsome men get away with more, so...
I was, oh, if only I was one of those. And so I said that I use that on a regular basis, and the HR representative who happened to be in on the discussion with us said, oh, no, I absolutely would not. I'm like, really? I can't call someone young lady. You'd be offended by young lady? She said, well, I wouldn't, but someone might. So, yeah, no, absolutely keep that
someone
out of
the might be offended by just near everything.
So I've actually been curtailing my uses of the term young lady at work as a result. But anyway, that was completely off topic. So that was it for...
Welcome to our new podcast, Completely Off Topic.
That's the name I've suggested before is my new podcast. I thought I had a point.
Yeah, that is perfect for you.
Yeah, I was going somewhere when I started this. Do I have a point? So anyway, next is Facebook. That's the other thing that I post on. I remember this now.
This story was going somewhere.
Yeah, it wasn't ever.
I mean, there was this spot on the dishes, and...
Oh, we haven't described the dish spot stories
have
yet.
Have we? That was months ago!
I know. Well, because I've been wanting to... Alright, I'll just give away the whole shebang on this one. My son, Jacob, now currently works with a person who I used to work with years ago. And...
He can say these things because she doesn't listen.
And Jacob says, look, she seems sweet enough and all of this, but in conversation with her, a lot of her stories are what he calls dish spot stories. And it's essentially, the story goes like this. Oh, so last night I was doing dishes. I pre-rinsed them. I ran it through two cycles. And when I got done, there were still spots on those dishes. That's the whole story. There's nothing. That's it. There's, it is that, because
it's
for
more
her,
of a statement than a story.
I assume because that was the most drama she had in the last 24 hours was there's still spots on these dishes. And that's the story she tells. And he said it just feels like all of her stories are like that. And as he's describing it to me, in my mind, I can remember from, 15, 20 years ago when I worked with her, I'm like, I would swear she told me that same story about dish spots 20 years ago.
Oh, no.
I would just swear that, or at some point she told me a story about dish spots.
The only thing worse than a dish spot story is an old dish spot story.
Well, I don't think it's an old one. I think she's had new dish spot stories because dish spots are something that she obsesses about.
But, yeah, a dish spot story is a story that goes nowhere.
Right. Nowhere at all.
There is literally no point in telling someone this story besides making conversation.
It's not even a story where you had to be there, because even if you had been there, you would neither have noticed nor cared. And so my whole point was I was going to describe the concept of dish spot stories at the beginning of the podcast and tell this whole story about Jacob and dish spot stories. And then through the rest of the podcast, I would then sprinkle in like a half dozen pointless stories like that where I just start and it's something that you guys don't care about at all. Like most of my podcasts. That's really meta.
Huh.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, there's
so
a good reason.
So true, it hurts, huh?
Yes. Good reason I didn't do this. That's what I'm thinking.
So anyway,
here I am at Facebook, where there is a ton of response.
Wow, look, people actually care for once.
Here we go. It says, Facebook is telling me I could build stronger relationships with my customers by privately replying to them in Messenger. Shut up.
Your customers? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what they assume that this is.
I know Nerd Pride is a product, but...
Okay. I have a response from Emily, and not the Emily that you hang out with, a different Emily who I don't recognize immediately, I have a couple of suspicions on who it might be, but I don't know for sure.
Or it could be an anonymous listener.
Right. It could be some listener who just happens to have felt a need to respond now.
Because
either way, welcome, Emily. I'm so glad to hear from you. This
because,
is very
again,
cool.
Even if you just creep around and listen, the forums at Nerd Pride and Facebook are open to literally anybody to say whatever they want.
That's
so
true.
Please feel free to.
Because I had said, now recording 248, and the question from Jacob here was, what's a good question to ask of your interviewer at the end of a job interview?
Oh, so you just stole my question, huh?
Yes, I did. I was using my time machine to steal your question that you sent to me and then repost it 6 hours ago. Alternately, what's a really bad question to ask of your interviewer?
I mean, the real thing is that we both came up with the same question completely apart from each other.
Yeah, he came up with his question, and he said, oh, here's a good one. And he came up with his question, tells me about it, and I'm like, yeah, that's the same one I did. He's like, well, you what? What? And he was all offended. He's like, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. So, anyway, so Emily's response to this is, good question, is what's your favorite part about this job or company? So it's valuable information for you and leaves the interviewer with a positive association of you. Oh, good call. Eric says, I told you everything I know. Now, about that plea deal. I'm going to guess that goes in the bad column. Sarah Beth responds with, depends on if it's a first, second, or final interview. Yes, analyze it to death.
Real quick. I don't mean to cut you off, Sarah Beth, by any means. But have you ever interviewed at Target? No, of course you haven't. If you interview at Target, you have to do 3 consecutive interviews, one right after the other.
Ew.
And they're almost all the same questions.
Wow. Yeah, no, thank you. Well, and here's the thing is, I've never been in a job interview process that involved more than one interview.
Right.
I've always gone for one interview.
Yep.
And then either I get the job or I don't. So, and I more than 50% of the time I've gotten the job. I've put in for a lot of jobs. So, although Jacob had a couple that he applied for that, yeah, he must have gone back a bunch of times. Wow. But Sarah Beth says she's going to assume that we mean it's just the first interview. So, having said that, good question for the end of the interview is when can I expect a status update on the next step of your hiring process? Or what is the next step of your hiring process? Absolutely good call. And I completely agree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Bad question. Anything about compensation? Way too early for that one. So you can't say, look, if I don't get the job, can I get like $50 to make up for my time?
See, like, the thing is like, I never understood why employers ask, how much do you expect to be paid for this job? It's like, it's your job to tell me how much I get paid for this job.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I hate it when they ask you how much you expect to get paid. It's like they would only ask that question because
if you say something lower than
right,
what they offer.
If you lowball them, then they can go with that. That feels like the Anyway, Sarah Beth continues and says, don't forget to immediately send a thank you note, a paper one, not an email. Do it in the car before you leave the parking lot. Put it in the nearest public mailbox on your way out. And then follow up with a phone call or an email after a week. Yeah, I think that's about fair. I actually, I always recommend to people to ask about the next step of the hiring process. You know, so when can I expect to hear back? And then follow up like a day after that. So, and then Sarah Beth has a reply to her comment, which I can't see yet. Hold on. I have to click on things. Oh, it's from Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth replies to Sarah Beth and says, I may or may not have gone through job hunt training support groups and am reviewing my notes for my own job hunt. For what it's worth. That's right. She's out of a job and she has to apply for a new one. Yeah, apparently, when your job is science that relies on government grants, not a whole lot of job security in certain administrations. So, yeah, kind of sucks.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah, I hope that's going well for you.
Sarah Beth would have thunk, actually.
Yes. Yes, that was the sort of thing that she was distinctly worried about. Then the next one is from Sarah Beth. It says, Mike, what do you do for tough love self-care?
Oh!
AKA ugly self-care.
Oh. Oh boy, I jerk off in the back of
hey,
my...
Hey, you know what? Your maniacal laughter was enough to convey the content of that joke without you having to say the words. What do you do for tough love self-care? Huh. I don't know. I'm not that hard on myself. I don't know. Do you have any kind? Okay, he's... Clearly, this is a single joke question. So, the next one's from Sarah Beth.
Sorry for murdering your question, Sarah Beth.
Sarah Beth says, what did your family do for Halloween besides the festival the boys did? We had 547 trick-or-treaters. New record. Last year was 525.
I handed out cookies at my door. I was the good house.
How many trick-or-treaters do you think you got?
Ugh. We got... I'm counting batches of cookies we actually gave away. I think we got something like 50 to 60 kids.
Very cool. We had 3.
Nice!
Well, yeah, which is a step up from the years where we normally have none, because we've always been out taking kids out trick-or-treating, and now Noah is finally too old for trick-or-treating, and so therefore, we got to stay home and give candy to 3 kids.
Is it wrong that I turned away a group of teenagers? Let me rephrase. They weren't teenagers, they were more mid-20s adulting costume.
It doesn't even matter. Look, if you are high school and up, it depends on your attitude when you come to the door. I mean, if you actually put on a real costume and you come to the door...
These were not real costumes, I will...
Right, but if it's you clearly...
Just want the free candy?
Yeah, tore up a sweatshirt or pulled a hood over your head or just grabbed a cheap mask that was laying around and you're clearly just going out because you think it would be a gas to go out and get candy from strangers, then I'm not up for that one. But my experience with Swara taught me that you can't always judge what's going on. So, Swara, I've told this story, but I'll tell it again since we just passed the Halloween season, is when Jacob was a junior in high school, there was a senior, a foreign exchange student from India. Her name was Swara, and Swara was very sweet, and she wanted, more than anything, when Halloween came around, she wanted to go out trick-or-treating. She had seen American Halloween in movies and had always been jealous of it and just wanted to have this experience. So she is a high school senior. She is 18 years old, and she went out and she put together an entire witch costume because she wanted to go trick-or-treating so bad. And so when we found out, we were like, well, we're taking out our little kids. You want to go with us? She was so excited. So we took Swara around to go trick-or-treating, and she was just couldn't have been happier. Just beamed, going up to every door. She knocks on the door, trick-or-treat, holds out her bag. She got candy everywhere. No one turned her away. Mm-hmm. She also kind of tiny, too. But it was adorable, and it was a great experience, and she had so much fun, and it was very, very sweet and innocent, and it was, it wasn't like, again, I've seen the group of teenagers that are out. Clearly, they said, oh, we can make costumes. Like, last minute, they're just throwing together something that they can pretend is a costume just because it would be funny to go trick-or-treating. That takes some of the fun out of it for me.
Like, they got mad at us because we wouldn't give them our cookies. They heard we were handing out cookies.
Uh-huh.
And they're mad that, like, look, but these are for the kids who actually tried on their costumes, who actually deserve them.
Yeah. Again, I'm torn. It depends on their attitude. It depends on their costume. I don't normally... We only get 3 trick-or-treaters, so it's not like I'm going to turn away most of anybody. If they come up to the door, even dumbass teenagers like that, I would probably have a laugh about it and point out that they're a little old for this and maybe make a joke on that, but I'd still hand them a candy bar. You know, it's not like... I'm not going to give them a handful like I do for the little kids, but I'll give them something. But... Again, that's because I have all this candy and I don't have a whole lot of trick-or-treaters.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just me. Alright, anyway. Kaz Granberg. Kaz says, his question, interview question, is, what did you expect to see in me today? Ooh.
Probably a set of intestines. couple lungs, maybe.
No, that's what he's asking the interviewer.
Right, and that was the interviewer's response.
Okay. It's actually not a bad question, although, man, you really want the honest answer? I mean, what if they're mean?
Yeah, just their only response is, well, just not this.
Yeah, we were really hoping for someone with more talent and less self-esteem. Could you...
Better looks, maybe?
Yeah, it's a... Geez, I don't know, Mike. We were hoping for a skinny guy.
You think you're really cut out to be a stripper?
All right. Have you watched the Patrick Swayze, Chris Farley...
No.
Chippendales auditions?
No.
All right, we'll have to watch that after this is over. It is... It's Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live, and the whole joke is it's funny because Chris Farley is a huge fat guy. So it is a fat-shaming video, but it is one of his better pieces of work. And the way him and Swayze play it off is actually really good. I don't know if it still stands the test of time. I haven't seen it in several years. Mm-hmm. We should watch it after this. We'll see if it holds up. All right, anyway. Kaz then comments and says, love you guys, keep being awesome. Hey, thank you, Kaz.
Thanks, man.
We really appreciate that. Next is from Pat, DM Darks, who is, by the way,
awesome.
That's right. Worst question I've heard asked during an interview was when I was part of a committee looking to hire a choral teacher. Choral with a C-H, this is not...
Aww.
Right, this is not a SpongeBob SquarePants joke.
I see here you've been part of several reefs.
Yeah, so trying to hire a choral teacher, I had very clearly been introduced as the band teacher that would be working alongside this choral teacher. The interviewee must have forgotten that during the interview. The question she asked at the end was something along the lines of, what do you think the possibility is that I could take over the band position? My answer, not too good. That's really funny. I'm sorry I stumbled over your story and kind of screwed it up. I still think the punchline landed pretty hard.
Maybe.
Though. I like that.
Maybe she didn't forget and it was a power play.
Oh. Yes, we're over an hour now and we haven't even gotten to your listener before.
Woo!
I can't believe we've done this. So, do you have any responses to the platinum list?
Not many. Like, 9?
Nice. You guys can tell I come in waves here. I was a little... Once again, stop. Just stop. All right? It's... doesn't matter. What's on your damn list?
The first one's from John. Hi, John. That's not John. This is John. All right.
What was the question?
Oh, sorry. Hey, Platinum members. My dad and I are recording today. If you'd like to say something or have us read anything, now's your chance. We'll read anything you send to us. This week's question, what should you absolutely not say during an interview? Or, give us an insult without swearing.
Okay. Alright, or an insult without swearing. I would like to hear those too.
John says, hi John, you're a saucy toad-spotted boar pig.
Nice. I like that one.
The next one's from John. Hi John. He says, your mother is a hamster and your father smells of elderberries.
Good call.
Yeah. And then, the next one's from John. Hi, John. And you absolutely should not ask who the most bangable cashier is.
Oh. Oh. Which is weird because it wasn't even a retail outlet.
Do you know what the weirdest part is? John's dating a cashier where he works.
Uh-huh.
I can say those things because he will listen.
Oh, I wish I was quicker on my toes tonight. I know that there's a lot more witty responses yeah. I could be throwing in. I'm not getting
the next one's from Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
He says, you sir, are one yellow belt.
Sam, where were you the other night?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We were at the play. What, did you have to work? I mean, your brother was on stage. His final one-act performance of his high school career. I think it's his final. Is this Pete's last year?
He was in my apartment having D&D with my roommate.
Really?
Yeah.
He skipped out on his brother's final one-act play to play Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah. As far as I know.
That's a pretty good excuse, man. I'll give it to you.
Sam says, you, sir, are one yellow-bellied, backstabbing, cattle-rustling, lily-livered, milk-drinking, dung-covered snake oil salesman.
That was good. My hat is off to you, Sam.
Did you play a game of them's fighting words recently, or?
No, it's been a while for him. He didn't did you show up? Were you at the game night that we did for the... It doesn't matter.
The next one's from Robin, a new member. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin. I've heard of her.
You, sir, are the human form of period cramps.
Oh, that is really funny.
Oof. The next one's from Katie. Hi, Katie. She says, never say in a job interview, I normally don't do blind dates, but I tripped in acid before coming here, so I hope we can have some fun later. They'd be a blind.
Blind.
Date.
Yeah, I get it, but it's... Oh. That would be pretty tasteless in a job interview. I'll give you that one.
The next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Oh, it's the other Emily. All right. Emily
1. She's Emily 1. She gets offended when she's the other Emily.
Can we call the other one Emily 1 and this one Emily Prime?
I don't know, Emily, get back to us on that one.
Or the other one could be Emily A and she could be Emily B.
She is Emily.
Aha! Aha!
Wow.
All right, how about the other one is Emily 2 and you get to be Emily B.
Anyway, get back to us on what you'd rather be preferred as, Emily. Because I know you listen.
Oh, yeah, no. I know it'll be. It'll be like Queen Emily.
From her roommate, Bree.
Lord High Master Emily. Watch.
Sorry I'm late. This was low on my list of priorities.
Oh. All right, now here's the thing.
That's both an insult and a job interview.
Here's the thing. I'm reading over your shoulder, and I saw, sorry I'm late. This was low on my list of priorities. I forgot that you had asked a question above. I thought that was just directed at us.
Ouch.
And my feelings were a little hurt.
I mean, is that an insult at us, or is that a job interview question?
So anyway, that comes from Bree.
From her roommate, Jackie. Sorry, I need to get my fix.
Nice.
And from her roommate, Liz. Do you do randomized testing? Because I need 3 days' notice.
Oh, cute.
All right. And the last one's from Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
You are the two dumbest fools that I swear to God have ever... Oh, wait. I screwed it up, didn't I? Dick tits. Thanks for playing along, Kyle.
All right. That was good. Was that the last one?
That's it.
All right.
That's all I got.
You know what, guys? This has been a barrel of monkeys for me. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, boy.
I have had so much fun here. So I am hoping I'm not embarrassed when I listen back to this tomorrow, but, I appreciate you guys coming along for the ride. Thank you, Aiden, for staying along with us tonight. He showed up way early today. Way early today. He made sure he had the day off. He showed up early because he did not want to miss out on another recording.
I took a nap. It was great.
Yeah, I made him travel along with me to go pick up his mom, and then we had to go get some supper, and we had to sort out some paperwork. And he still hung in there just for this because you're awesome.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you guys. Thank you for showing up. I will see you next week. You're awesome.
Goodbye, everybody.